Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopidanna Balabha Girivardhari Gopidanna Balabha Girivardhari Yashoda Nandana Vrajadanna Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Vrajadanna Ranjana Yamuna Tira Banachari Shiravanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopidanna Vallabha Girivardhari Nandana Vrajadanna Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Om Vishnu Pada Brahman Supri Raja Vichere Supri Supasi Sima Jaya Vishnu Pada Brahman Chira Prabhupada ki Garantara Chimit Bhagavatam ki Jai Gaur Premanandi Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, chapter 1, text number 9. Parinishto pinairgunya Parinishto pinairgunya Uttama shloka lilaya Uttama shloka lilaya Grihita cheta rajarshe Grihita Cheta Rajarshe Akhyanam Yadaditavam Akhyanam Yadaditavam Parinishtito Pinayurgunya Uttamashloka Lilaya Grihita Cheta Rajarshe.
Akhyanam
Yat Aditavan.
Fully realized.
Api,
in spite of.
Nirgunye,
in transcendence.
Uttama,
enlightened.
Shloka,
verse.
Lilaya,
by the pastimes.
Grihita,
being attracted.
Chetaha,
attention.
Rajarshe,
O saintly king.
Akhyanam,
delineation.
Yat,
that.
Aditavan,
I have studied.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace,
A.C. Bhaktivinoda
Swami, Srila
Prabhupada. Srila
Prabhupada ki jai.
O saintly king,
I was
certainly situated
perfectly
in transcendence,
yet
I was still attracted
by the
delineation of the
pastimes of
the Lord,
who is
described by
enlightened
verses.
Purport by
Srila Prabhupada.
The absolute
truth is realized
as the impersonal
Brahman
at the first
instance
by
philosophical
speculation,
and later
as the supersoul
by further
progress of
transcendental
knowledge.
But
if by the grace
of the Lord,
an impersonalist
is enlightened
by the
superior statements
of Srimad Bhagavatam,
he is
also converted
into a
transcendental
devotee
of the
personality of
Godhead.
We are
poor fond of knowledge,
we cannot
adjust to the
idea
of the
personality
of the
absolute truth.
And the
personal
activities
of the Lord
are deplored
by the
less intelligent
impersonalists.
But
reasons and
arguments
together
with the
transcendental
process of
approaching
the absolute
truth
help
even the
staunch
impersonalist
to become
attracted
by the
personal
activities
of the Lord.
A
person like
Shukadev
Goswami
cannot be
attracted
by any
mundane
activity.
But
when such a
devotee
is convinced
by a
superior method,
he
is certainly
attracted
by the
transcendental
activities
of the Lord.
The Lord
is transcendental,
as
are
His
activities.
He
is neither
inactive
nor impersonal.
Parinishtito pinairgunya uttamashloka lilaya grihita cheta rajarshe akhyanam yadaditavan.
O saintly king, I was certainly situated perfectly in transcendence. Yet I was still attracted by the delineation of the pastimes of the Lord, who is described by enlightened verses.
Om Agyana Timarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadhati Svapadantikam Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langayate girim yat kripadamaham vande sri guru dinataranam paramananda madhavam sri chaitanyeshwaram vanchakalpatrubhyascha kripasindhubhyevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Hare Krishna. So the blessings of all the Vaishnavas. Here, in this section of Srimad Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami is starting his teachings to Maharaj Parikshit. He has started out with very strong words. First of all, he praised Maharaj Parikshit's inquiry, his questions. The whole Bhagavatam is questions and answers. So, to have the opportunity to hear ideal or meaningful questions is quite rare nowadays. People will ask you, what's this, what's this, what's this, what's that, what's that? Yet, rarely somebody will ask, what is the meaning, what is the purpose, the why? And once the why is addressed and satisfactorily answered, then the how becomes quite easy. So Maharaj Parikshit was glorified by Sukadeva Goswami for asking meaningful questions. Sukadeva Goswami went on to explain that the activities of persons who are engrossed in matter are quite futile, they're quite meaningless. People are wasting their times, they're wasting their lives. And so here, he's stating to the king that, speaking for himself, that he was situated in transcendence. We know that Sukadeva Goswami stayed in the womb of his mother for 16 years, and he had already been self-realized. In fact, he was so self-realized he didn't want to come out. He said, I don't want to get into Maya. I don't want to be overcome by illusion. Only when Krishna came and assured him that he would not be touched by the illusory energy, he chose to appear in this world. Then, immediately, he left for the forest, even though his father tried to persuade him, get him back. Later on, he was successful by a trick. So Sukadeva Goswami became attracted by the pastimes of the Lord. Thus he was eager to hear more about Krishna and Krishna's pastimes. So this is what is being described here. Parinishtita, fully realized. Spiritual practice is not about rituals or externals, about putting on a certain dress or following certain protocols. It is about realization. And realization is dependent on application, on completing one's practice. Then realization arises in the heart of the practitioner. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada elaborates on the Lord's different stages of experience or revelation towards his devotees, Vedanti tatta tavidas tattam yajnanam advayam brahmeti pramatmeti bhagavan iti shabdate, that this non-dual absolute truth is known as Brahman to the impersonalist. It is known as the Supersoul or Paramatma to the yogi or meditator, and it is known as Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to the bhaktas or to the devotees who appreciate Krishna's personal qualities. But that requires the grace of the Lord. What is that grace of the Lord? How does that grace of the Lord look like? A lot of people speak about grace and are looking for grace, but what is that grace of the Lord? Mahamantra? Yes. What else is that grace of the Lord?
Pure devotee, spiritual master.
What else is that grace?
We are coming back to serve him.
Coming back to serve him.
Surrendering him.
Surrendering.
And worshipping him.
And worship.
Thinking in it.
Okay, all the nine processes of devotional service, yes.
And sharing and his confidential knowledge.
Sharing the confidential knowledge, thank you.
Taste
for the holy name. What else is grace? What else is mercy?
Realizing that he's a person.
Realizing that he's a person, yes.
Very nice. The association of devotees.
Yep.
Prasadam.
Haribol. Bhagavad Prasad Ki. Yeah. Kirtan. Yes. Thank you for your great audience participation. You have all realized the grace, the mercy of the Lord. I was sitting yesterday next to Soma Prabhu, and he looked at the samosa, and he took one bite of it, and he said, "This tastes exactly the same like the first piece of prasadam I've ever got." Same recipe, same ingredient, same experience. So there is consistency. We want a consistent experience. Like in a relationship, you expect consistency, right? Not like one day it's great, and the next day, eh, and then what? You know, who are you? But we want consistency. So Krishna is consistent. He's very responsive. Srila Jiva Goswami, in his commentary to the 87th chapter of the 10th canto, Prayers of the Vedas Personified, says that the cause of the universe is compassion. It's the compassion of the Lord. Just like here, Prabhu is creating a playground for his grandson, I believe, right? Huh? He's your grandson, right? Yeah, that's why there's so much affection.
We don't know which one's the grandson.
You know why there is so much love between the grandparents and the grandkids? They have mutual enemies. That's why they love each other so much, because they understood who the culprit, who the trouble is. So Krishna is very kind. He creates this playground of the material world, and he says, like a loving parent, go have fun. Knock yourself out. And at some point he says, okay, kids, time to go home now. We're out of here. Gotta get back. Gotta do some stuff. So he appears in this world, and he sends his devotees to remind us that there is more than just playing our games, trying to control and enjoy and manipulate, but there's more to it. There's actually the sweet nature of the Supreme Lord. So, just like when the four Kumaras had darshan of Vishnu, even though they were situated in transcendence, they experienced a change. When the breeze of the tulsi leaves, of the lotus feet, of the Supreme Personality of God had entered the nostrils of the four Kumaras, they experienced a change both in body and mind, and they became transformed. Tulasi, yes, Tulasi, huh? The Tulsi on the lotus feet of the Lord. That just, Tulsi has a very fragrant smell, especially in the morning. It's quite subtle, but yes, makarandala. Very special fragrance. So that's the fragrance we want to experience. That is the fragrance of devotional service. Janani Vas Prabhu in Mayapur, when he was teaching us Bhaktivedanta course, said our only aim, our only objective is to somehow inspire the living entity to get a little bit of taste, affinity, affection to serve Krishna. That's our only desire. That's what we want to achieve. So, and taste is communicated by sharing this opportunity of Krishna consciousness. That is grace. That is grace that is being given to us. I'm unqualified and very weak in my spiritual practice. Yet, in the words of Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami, I know nothing about jewels, yet I have become a jewel merchant, even though I know nothing about jewels. But I try to do this simply to entertain, to please the Vaishnavas. When I was up in northern Michigan, near Mackinac Bridge, in a town called Sheboygan. Have you ever heard of Sheboygan?
Yeah, very windy.
Yeah. Very windy, very cold. I was on a parking lot of the great American institution called the Walmart. And I walked up to one car, and it was a middle-aged gentleman with his teenage son. And when he saw me with a stack of books, he said, "Prabhupada is my favorite author." And his son looked at him and said, "What? What, Daddy? Who?" And he had a little bit of explaining to do to his son. And I realized it was worth it, driving all the way up to Sheboygan in northern Michigan, to hear that. Because once you see someone else receiving grace and appreciating it, your faith, your Shraddha immediately becomes very strong. As in Orlando, at Florida Central University, that's how you call it, right? UCF, University of Central Florida. Got to get my acronyms right. It's a challenge. And I met this student, a boy and a girl, and they walked up to me, and I showed him the books, and he said, "You wouldn't believe it. We were just singing My Sweet Lord." Now, most of the kids, you show them Chant and Be Happy, and they say, "Who are these dudes? You know, like, why do they have so much hair on their head? We don't know these guys." But they were saying that they were singing together, My Sweet Lord. So they very happily got a stack of books, including Chant and Be Happy. But that is quite rare. That is quite rare nowadays, because Bhakta George, it's been a while since he joined the Hare Krishna. It's been quite a while. So, and there is more than 70,000 students at that university. So if you ever feel excited and you feel that you want to experience grace and you want to share grace, there's a lot of very good places very close to where you live. So please take this opportunity. Of course, if we are insecure and we are frightened by the prospect of having to interact, or frightened by the prospect that somebody else might, then we try to limit ourselves and limit others, yet grace or mercy will always find its recipient. It's like water. Water always finds the lowest level. Have you noticed? Did you ever have some leak somewhere and you became painfully aware that water always finds its lowest level? So, in a similar way, mercy always finds its recipient, even though we may try to limit it and put up dikes and put up different types of obstacles and roadblocks, but Krishna's mercy will always find its recipient. Especially through the endeavor of the devotees who go out of their way to share Krishna's mercy with others. Just like Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He broke open the storehouse of love of Godhead with the help of Lord Nityananda and his assistants. And he distributed its contents widely all throughout the Indian subcontinent. And he gave in South India what he didn't even give in Navadvip. Because in Navadvip, why didn't he give in Navadvip Krishna prema freely?
Shaktas.
Mayavadis. Paduya Adhamas, yes, the lowest rascals, yeah, who think that they're educated, but actually they're not. And who thought that, we know Nimai, we know this punk kid. He grew up here, he did a lot of weird things, and so we're not gonna listen to him. So he kept the nectar, the prema, mostly internal for a select small group. Although they did perform Sankirtan in public. But when he went to South India, he shared Krishna consciousness, he shared Krishna prema very widely. And he empowered his devotees to do so. And he is still empowering his devotees to do so. And that empowerment is Krishna Shakti Vinanahe Tara Pravartana. This is what is actually making the difference in the world. That is what keeping the world alive. We were down in New Orleans, in the French quarters, and I was just, whenever I go to these places, I just remember the devotees who used to, or who are still distributing there, like Jhumila Prabhu and Mohanasini, and others. So for me, it's like a tirtha, it's like a holy place. When you know, like, you know, Prabhupada was here, the devotees were here, right? You know, this is a tirtha, this is a holy place. So we were down there at Mardi Gras, and it was quite an interesting scene for various reasons, as you can imagine. And there was one young artist, he was just setting up, he was just pushing his huge cart of art to the square to put up all his paintings. And when he saw me with the books, he said something very beautiful. He said that some days I really pray that every inhabitant of this city would play with Krishna and steal butter with him and put food in his mouth and Krishna puts butter and cream in their mouths and they're just playing together. And other days I pray that Lord Nrisimhadev would put them all on his lap and wah, just rip out their intestines.
Some artists
do. Yeah. And you can make this stuff up. It's just happening. We were down in Miami on spring break on South Beach, which is quite an event. It's quite a zoo down there. And there was one African-American lady, middle-aged, she walked out of the CVS, and I was right in front there, because I found that was a good water hole to access people. So I showed her the books, and she was visibly upset. She was very angry and disturbed, and she was shaking from being so angry and disturbed. And I spoke to her in calm and soft voice, and I just tried to explain to her about the process of meditation and that we're not this body and that there's a different type of existence. And halfway through, she said, "I'm very angry, I'm very disturbed, but keep speaking. This is good for me." No, just with me. She said, "Keep speaking. It's working, you know." I know this is good for me. So at the end, she took a few books and contributed, and I told her that you can't fix this world. It's not fixable. But you can work on your own attitude. So work on yourself, and everything will be much better, much kinder. And she actually got it. She actually appreciated that. So we're very fortunate because we can see Krishna's grace, Krishna's mercy, interacting with the people on a moment-to-moment, real-time. It's not like some video recording. Sometimes people have this idea that all the good stuff happened pre-77 or pre-72 or pre-68, depends on which group.
Pre-71.
Yeah, it depends in which group you're in. But Shukamukhat Travyasamyutam Pipata Bhagavatam Rasamalayam Muhur Muho Bhuvibhavuka. We know that the nectar becomes sweeter and sweeter. Why? Because it's being tasted by the different devotees. So as the fruit of mercy of grace gets handed down through parampara, it becomes sweeter and sweeter, more and more relishable. So actually those generations which are yet to come, which are yet to be born, they're the most fortunate. I had one query, and it got resolved on my last trip, somewhere up there near the Great Lakes. I went to the home of Meenakshi, and she explained what that statement of Prabhupada meant when he said, the children of your children will be the pure devotees. Have you ever wondered about that? Why the children of your children? Why not your children? Have you ever wondered about that? I mean, why not me, right? Why the children of my children? Prabhupada, that's her words. He said that, why not your children? Because they have to associate with you. So,
he said that?
Yeah.
That's what she said.
She was there, or she just stood for? We had heard that before.
Yeah. So, okay, we got some praman here. Yeah. I mean, there's that native saying that seven generations, right? You should think seven generations ahead. So just in case, sometimes we get a little anxious, we want to see change. And it's hard to change a culture. It's hard to change things fast. Yet, to see that potential and to act in such a way as to inspire, to encourage that potential, that is our grace. That is our task. That is our contribution. I was in Santa Cruz, California, the home of the homeless vegan. It's where you go out and distribute, you know, prasadam, and they will ask you, is it vegan? With that little bit of passive aggressive, you know, Californian flavor. Yeah, and homeless people. And they're like, dude, you're homeless. Are you hungry or are you hungry? You know? Like, take it and eat it. But there they're very refined. They're very, you know. So, on Wednesday there's the farmer's market. In case you're in California on Wednesday, go to Santa Cruz and meet all the colorful characters that come there. And there was one elderly, very elderly farmer who I've met dozens and dozens of times, and he comes with his old beat up Volkswagen bus, and he just has some wooden planks in there and a few crates of different herbs that he grows, and he's got persimmon and kiwi trees and his herbs, and he puts out a little table and he puts his different herbs there. And every time I go there, first time I saw him, I saw his cash register is a beat up old tin box that has got Sita Ram, Lakshman, and Hanuman. And it's so used up that most of it is already being erased. So I gave him the books and he almost teared up, like it just hit him, you know, that. So every time he takes a book and he makes a contribution and he gives me his different herbs and fruits. After about a dozen or so times, I gave him a Bhagavatam set because he already had all the other books. And the last time I met him, I told him that just like Hanuman went to get the mountain peak to bring the herbs to cure Lakshman, so in a similar way, you're giving me all these herbs to keep me alive. Because when you eat this arugula and all the other things that somebody grows in their garden organically and offers it with love, you feel this is medicine. So in a similar way, you keep me alive. And he just teared up, you know, he just froze. He just stunned in ecstasy. And you're like, dude, why can't you be so much in ecstasy? I mean, I got up at 3 this morning, you know, I chanted my rounds. Where is my ecstasy? Because that's mercy, that's grace. That sometimes it goes seemingly through you and it hits the other person and you go like, what? What happened? Like, what am I getting from this? Huh?
That guy's like 85 or 80.
I met another gentleman who said, I was there, I was there, I was there. I saw him. 1972, San Francisco Airport. My friend took me there. I saw him. And you're like, whoa, what? The lights just went on, you know? Like, the guy's on fire, like a Christmas tree. So that's what happens when you go out to try to share the message. We were down in Miami doing Harinam in Coconut Grove. And there's a lot of fancy restaurants around because it's kind of a posh area. And people, it was Saturday night and people were out and they're a bit snazzy, minding their own business, not so much interested in what the devotees were doing, but still getting affected and getting benefited by the mercy of the holy name. At the end, towards the end of the Harinam, I walked up to one table. There was a table with 3 couples, which are very well dressed, and they were from the UK, and they spoke proper English. And so I saw they were having a little family gathering there with friends, sharing a meal, having a conversation, and me being me, I just insert myself into their little tête-à-tête, into their little get-together. And I saw one guy, he was holding the hand of his wife. So I gave him bhakti, the art of eternal love. And I told him, love is the only language everybody understands. Guess what? He had to agree with me. Then I handed his wife the science of self-realization. I told her, if you have a sense of self and you can appreciate the self, without self-love you can't love anything else if you don't know who you are. And so on. I handed everybody a book and said a little something. And told them, you know who we are and what we do, so these are for you. And if you'd like to contribute, that would be very kind. So the first gentleman with the bhakti, the art of eternal love, he got me something and put it in my pocket. And they were all very appreciative. They were all very touched by that short encounter that we had. And when I walked away, I saw he gave me $50. So that's not the point. The point is that people are ready to reciprocate when they see that we don't have an ulterior motive. The Prabhupada often said you should be serious, sincere, without ulterior motives, not to have another type of an agenda, because that can ruin it. That can kind of compromise our interaction. So here, Shukadeva Goswami is sharing his own realization, and he's doing it in a very meaningful, in a very exemplary way, that he's praising, he's glorifying the Lord and the potency of the Lord's pastimes. Uttama Shloka, enlightened verses. There are countless enlightened verses that are glorifying the Lord. Nama pankachana baya, nama pankachamaline, nama pankachanetraya, namaste pankajangraye. If you just hear that, you go like, oh wow, it's beautiful, right? Nice. Pankacha. What grows from the mud or from the obscurity is the lotus. So Krishna, he is lotus face, he's got all his, many of his bodily parts are compared to lotus, lotus feet, of course, his abdomen is shaped like a lotus. So very, very delicate, very fragrant, very beautiful. So there are countless of such descriptions of the Lord in the Srimad Bhagavatam. That's why the devotees are so eager to read and distribute the Bhagavatam. And that's why Prabhupada mainly came to the West to bring us the Bhagavatam. That was Srila Prabhupada's main focus, his main mission, to bring us the Bhagavatam. And then people will come here to see what is the Bhagavata in practice. What is the actual application? What is the community that lives according to the Bhagavata principles? So that is where all of you or all of us come into play. Because that's the realization. When you see it actually works, it can actually happen. It's not just theory, it's not just written somewhere. But people are living it. And I can also take part in that. That is the experience. One time my friend Brajananda was at a warp tour, at a music concert, and he took a break. And as he came back to his boxes, there was a young man there who was just handing out books ecstatically. He probably had seen him that he was giving out books, so he thought, hey, I can do that too. So he just opened the box and he was just passing them out. And he was just totally ecstatic. I mean, and Brajananda was like, hey, whoa, not so much, you know, like that. But you'd be surprised. You ever seen a newcomer who is more blissful, more ecstatic than you? And you go like, how dare they? What about seniority? I've been doing this for decades. And you think you can be so blissful? Houston, we have a problem. Or Mayapur, we have a problem. There's over 1 million people on the planet chanting Hare Krishna. We have officially 80 initiating gurus, out of which maybe 50 are active. So if you do the math, you don't have to be a CPA. That gives 20,000 disciples per guru. Sociologists have come up with the brilliant number that you can't productively engage with more than 150 people. You can't know or work with more than 150 people. So how are you going to deal with your 20,000 disciples? You tell me. It's going to be hard. I speak to some of them and they say over 200, over 500, that's like beyond. It's just beyond. Jesus had how many? 12. And they weren't all that great. So instead of trying to talk to the world or to deal with your big following, why not just try to find 12 or 4 and teach them and share whatever it is that you know with that many people. And that will work just fine. But if we try to limit it and say, no, there's not enough people, there's not enough cookies, there is not enough resources, then instead of being part of the solution, we'll be part of the problem. And we'll be pushed out by the insurmountable force of Jara, of time, the time factor that is moving us all along this trail. So, here we have a very clear example of what it means, Guru Parampara. We have Srila Vyasadeva there. We have his guru Narad Muni there. We have all the sages and the rishis there. And who comes in? A 16-year-old naked boy from the forest. And he just walks in and he sits down and he speaks the Bhagavatam. And nobody said, hey, why him? Hey, he's naked. Hey, where is he from? Where did he go to school? Where is his PhD from? No. Everybody was happy to hear the Bhagavatam from Shukadeva. Everybody was happy that he initiated Parikshit. So, that means grace. That means magnanimity. That means Guru Parampara. There were 4 generations there simultaneously, at least 4, probably more. And there was no conflict of interest. Why? Because they were all on the same team. I went to one country for 25 years, but then one of the leaders there said, we will never be on the same team because we had a different genealogy. So I saw that as an indicator that maybe it's not so much productive to try to apply myself there. So are you part of my team or am I part of your team or are we part of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's team? Because Yagyai Sankirtana Prayaya Jantihi Sumedasa Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtan. The only successful team is the Sankirtan team of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I don't think any other teams are going to be successful in this age. Or do you have any other candidates for teams that would be in the winning charts? I don't know. That is the winning team. So the more we align ourselves with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement, the more we discuss and apply these principles, the more we'll realize that we're one team, we're one family, there's one mission, there's one book. That's where you come in. Yes. And it's a fact. People are looking for grace. People are suffering. They're in intense distress. Now is the best time ever to share Krishna consciousness. People are anxious. They're uncertain. They don't know is there what the future is going to bring. Where the stuff will pan out, whether it's going to be working out. So, Bhavoshadat Shrotra Mano Virama, Gautama Shloka Gunanuvada. This is the healing medicine, this is the nectar, the life-giving ambrosia that is coming through the words of our previous acharyas. The more we discuss these words and the more we share these words, the more we apply ourselves to these teachings, the happier and the more graceful will we move through life. And then nothing will touch us. It will be like water on the back of a duck. Whether it be all the turmoil that has always been there in the material world, or our own deficiencies and problems, Krishna will empower us. He will help us to go and see beyond. If we do not show kindness to others, our lives will be superficial. We don't want to lead superficial lives. We want to lead lives of meaning, of purpose. So I feel very blessed, I feel very grateful to be here in this community, to see so much love, so much kindness. And I see many generations living together. There's a lot of potential. There's so many good schools very close of here. We should have a Krishna conscious frat house in every of those schools where students can practice Krishna consciousness. That's what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wanted. He said, with London, they should start in London and have one of them. So they can be Krishna in Krishna consciousness, go to school, learn a vocation. That was his vision. That's why Prabhupada came to the West and brought the Bhagavatam. There's no lack of resources. We have devotees and members and admirers who are multimillionaires and billionaires. There's no lack of resources. It's just a question of us understanding the game plan. Are we one team? Are we part of Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan team? Or are we running our own little Ponzi scheme here? Huh? Like you meet the ticket scalpers, you know? On the we were at Okeechobee. And all they do is run around, you know, like frantically, you know, buy, sell, and it's just such a different vibration when you're out there in the books. I mean, I met kids there who were like, it was on Shivaratri actually, we snuck in at 3 a.m. Pretending we were security. And they're not going to pay $430 to get into a show. So, and then we stayed undercover for 2 days, just waiting for the crowds to show up. And I'll leave you with this story. And then we got out, and it's 30,000 people who showed up and camped out there for 4 days. So it was like fishing in a barrel with dynamite. And there were kids, literally, they said, "The monks, you're here. You come every year. I kept some money for you. Thank you for coming out here." And of course, after that, they go and get stoned and hammered and whatnot. But people can appreciate grace when they see it. But that necessitates that we experience this grace in our own sangha. That we don't look on each other like, "Why are you here? Why did you make it in my little gated community?" You know? When people, I can see their bit of an attitude, stop them and tell them, "I'm from Switzerland. I came here to meet all the nice people. Do you qualify?" And I say, everybody has the option of trying. I always tell them my first teacher was from Brooklyn. So don't give me any of that. I know what it's like. I got plenty of it. So let us experience this grace and then share it. And guess what? People will come to you and the only question on their mind will be, "How can I be like you?" But if they see a grumpy, self-righteous young man or woman, their only question is, "How can I get it as far away as possible from you?" So the choice is really ours, how we apply ourselves to this practice. So thank you for allowing me to share my thoughts and my heart with you. And thank you for being role models. I got a lot of mercy here, always. I feel like I'm very fortunate, I'm very blessed. There's a lot of people here who are ready to chastise me, and a lot of people who are ready to give me good advice. It's always blissful. Because in most other places you go in the world, people will treat you like you're the old man, you're the old guy. But whenever I come here, I feel like I'm the kid, you know? It's nice, you know? It's nice. It's a different kind of a flavor, you know? Everyone like, don't do this, don't do that, go here. It's like, hey, I'm a kid. This is great. So it's quite an interesting experience. And it's an acquired taste, but Krishna has a unique sense of humor. And he knows exactly what we need. So thank you for keeping the oasis going, keeping it open, keeping it alive, and for tolerating us. This is the best time ever. People are ready. They're ready. They've had it. Because stuff is not working too great out there. I don't know. I know you don't watch the news. You don't go on the web. You just live in your bubble of ecstasy. You're just rolling in the mercy every day, being with their lordships. But last time you checked, in Kali Yuga, it's not such a great time. And especially now, it turned the heat on a little bit. So let us appreciate what we have and share it, first of all, with ourselves and with our near and dear ones. And then get ready. People will want you to be their teacher, their guide. And I know it sounds scary, but that's our tradition, that's what we bought into. Thank you very much. We have time for a couple of questions or reflections. We start over here.
Thank you, Prabhu, for enlightening class. What I heard you say was that we're all gurus, but there's Diksha gurus, but there's so many Shiksha gurus that we should all take up that responsibility. Because one person can't teach 20,000 people, and we all need to really take up the mission in that way.
Thank you. There was one Narad Muni, and there was thousands of Sandipani Munis. Just Grihastha couples who know Shastra and who live an exemplary life. We have thousands of those in our movement. All those who are already mentors, they're already guides, they're already doing it. They should just be recognized. In 1991, I got a call, I should fly to Mayapur the next day. So I went, and they said, we just made you the Minister of Book Distribution. I didn't argue, because those are none of the days where you argued with seniors. And I said, what's my job description? And my authority then said, well, you're already doing it. You know better than any of those people up here. And so you just keep doing what you're doing. And if anybody gives you trouble, you send them to me. And I will take care of them. And he was from Brooklyn. So he knew he could take care of them. And it worked. We had a deal. It was a good thing. But now, if you stick your head out or your nose, then you will have a lot of pushback. So who in his right mind would want to do the job? That's why right now it's a little thin. Like you can see here, we have some seniors and then you have a few kids. But in between, it's a little thin. So empowerment really means that we see the potential and we bring people up and we pass the baton, we pass the ball, we train others to learn. And then guess what? at some point they're already doing it. So then it's like, we're a Shiksha Sampradaya. If you look at our parampara, most of it is Shiksha. They're not initiated by their next up on the line. But that's our parampara. Now, are we living our theology or are we living something else? That question everybody has to answer for themselves. The more we align ourselves with our theology and with our teachings, the more we'll actually be authentic and productive and impactful. Otherwise, people will call us a little unproductive or even hypocritical. So, how do we go from here to there? Well, first there's breakfast, and then there is lunch. And maybe there will be dinner. But in between, we discuss these topics and we share them. And we'll realize that this process is more powerful. Nobody can obstruct the mercy. Nobody can obstruct the flow of mercy. Many have tried. No one has succeeded. So we should try with the right attitude, and Krishna will empower us according to our capacity, according to our level of surrender. Thank you. Some other point?
I just wanted to ask quickly, I overheard a conversation in the Pujari room this morning. Someone distributed 1,008 sets of Chaitanya Charitamrita yesterday. Just wondering, was that you or what, do you know who that could have been? Talking about news, it's for news, I'd like to know.
No, they got 1,008 sets sponsored in ISKCON of Silicon Valley by Sheshi Kapoor. So, they will still have to be distributed. But that's what's possible if you have a team of people who are... Got a grudge. This is important. If you have a team of people who are on the same wavelength, they're on your team, you can do 1,008 Chaitanya Charitamrita sets like that in no time. Or you're part of that same team. There's no lack of resources.
I hear you when you say that it's very important to have a connection with the news and what is going on in the world. What is the balance for a devotee? Because I sometimes wonder, should I listen to the news every morning, or, you know, what is the balance?
Depends on who you are and what your service is. If like Srila Prabhupada, he had his secretary read the headlines, and sometimes he would ask a question or two, but usually it was just like the business of the day, that's it. Unless there was something that poked his interest. Because he was preaching, and so he needed to know what's going on in the world. Doesn't mean you read the newspaper or you go on the web for hours and hours every day. If your service doesn't necessitate it, you can be happily oblivious to the news of the world. So especially in these days where there's a lot of propaganda, a lot of fear-mongering, a lot of false information, feel free to decline. Feel free to unplug and to just tune into the Bhagavatam. Because if you're at a stage of life where you're in your bell lap or you're preparing yourself for, you know, the grand voyage, then I would just tune out from all these distorting frequencies that are just kind of destructive. Or kind of too much negativity, yeah. Too much grief.
Carrying just, anxiety.
Yeah, anxiety. And you just don't want to do that to yourself. I tell the kids sometimes, and just get off your phone and live in the real world. You know, there's some actual people walking around here. The guy who wrote these books, you know, he was from before the web, you know, like, and before mobiles and telephones and all that. And they go like, wow. It's like a real mind-blowing concept, you know. They're like, yeah, we'd like to know what the dude had to, I mean, that's their words, you know, how they, what he had to say. So before we absorb ourselves in these type of scenarios, we should make sure that we're actually connecting to Srila Prabhupada's teachings. Sometimes we get very interested in a whole lot of other type of information, but we're not really tuning into this frequency. And all of a sudden we find ourselves also becoming anxious, becoming depressed. Devotee's calling me, should I sell all my stocks? Or, you know, should I dig a hole in my garden and, you know, and put a lid on it? Or, you know, so, yeah.
Yeah, because I heard that Prabhupada said if you listen too much to the news, you will think that this world is real.
Yes, and that's not what we want to do. Thank you for that point. All right, thank you for your kind attention. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.